There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Gamertag Radio presents E3 2016 coverage. Hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo are direct from the convention center floor.
Here we go.
Ari's just finished watching PlayStation press conference here at E3 2016. And I have a lot of things to say about this, man. But I also have the co-host of the show, Paris, and also Pete. So I'm going to start out with this, Paris. To me, it was the best presentation, press conference so far. It was well done. One of the greatest lineups from Sony I ever seen. But here's my issue. Every year they've been doing this, there's no dates. And that's the only issue that I have with this, man. And I had a conversation with P, and he mentioned this. Does hype equals win? And at the same time, it's like a chess move. I think that they're the right thing because they don't need to mention anything about the Neo. But again, it's no dates announced. And Microsoft had dates, even though the games were not for everyone. You know what I'm trying to say? So I want to get a feedback from everybody about that.
Well, my thing is this. To me, I viewed it as confidence. They're like, all right, we don't have dates that we're putting on these games, but you know these games are coming. They put a date on The Last Guardian. They put a date on Horizon. You know those. They kicked the show off with God of War, which to me was clearly running on Neo. Yes. It looked like it was running on Neo to me. That zombie game, what was it? Dazed Dawn looks very impressive for what it was. They didn't need to talk about Neo tonight. They didn't need to talk about hardware. If you think about it, they didn't talk about any hardware. They didn't talk about PlayStation Network, Powers, Netflix, HD. They didn't talk about none of that stuff. They just like, here's our games. They're all badass. You want Spider-Man? Obviously, let's bring that up. You're going to want to play them. We're already the leader in the clubhouse, like they said, with VR, which I was actually very impressed with some of the stuff they were showing with VR as well. I mean, we'll see at launch again. But this was we're the leader in the clubhouse. We're confident with our gaming lineup. We can talk about the hardware later. We don't need to promise you hardware down the road to keep you as a PlayStation owner and in our ecosystem.
Okay. Pete, what about you, man?
VR showing October 13th, $400. 50 games at launch. I think that's a pretty strong launch. Or at least a strong quantity of games for their launch window for VR. Obviously, I think that's where they're putting their major chips. As Paris said, God of War 4, you could tell that was 4K because everything else they showed was not 4K. And the difference was very, very clear. It was crisp. That being said, I think it's probably one of the few times that we've all agreed on one thing. It's hardware versus software. Microsoft played their, they played their card. Is it a push? Do you think it's even? Like, okay, y'all lacked in hardware where you guys came strong in software last year. You know, on the Microsoft side, Sony this year was like, no, we've got games. We know that Sony's playing the, we've promised you some of these titles. I think, was it the Kaz Harai parody account was like, you know, finally the crowd is, you know, the crowd applauds when a game comes out on schedule. I don't know. I don't see anything today. I don't see anything coming out other than VR for 2016. And Last Guardian. Everything else is vaporware.
And that's the problem. A couple years ago, they had Kingdom Hearts. They had Shenmue. No dates. It bothers me because at the same time, I know everybody's excited. Don't get me wrong. Like, to me, the presentation was sick. It was awesome. But at the same time, it's like, when it's coming out, 2-3 years from now, 4 years from now, that's the only thing I'm like worried about, you know. But I gotta give Sony props. I think getting the fans excited, they did it. That's the most important thing.
We'll see. And again, I'm going on a mini rant here. This again is why I think E3 has lost the relevance that it's had in the past, because PlayStation's going to rely on PlayStation Experience to talk about their indie titles, to talk about some of the other upcoming projects they may have with PlayStation Network and things like that. They're using E3 as their platform. Like, here's our big showcase titles. We're not worrying about having to give you a release date on these. We're just letting you know this is the future. Like, look, we know God of War is coming in probably the next 18 months or so. They just didn't put a date on it. You know, we know a Neo's out there. They didn't have to talk about it. It's, I don't know. Again, like I said before, it's just they're coming from a position of confidence and not feeling like they need to win your business, because they feel like they already have you in their ecosystem and you're not going to go anywhere. You know, 2016, like Pete was saying, they're light again on AAA titles, but they're going to rely hard on third party. You know, I think the only third party title they showed was Call of Duty, right? You know, they had Final Fantasy 15, but the tie in with that was with VR. That's just what they're going to do this year. You like it or not, it is what it is, you know? I think Microsoft, in retrospect, needed to put dates on their games, needed to show us, all right, here's what's coming, needed to say, yeah, that underpowered Xbox One you're on today, we're getting rid of that. Here's what, on the hardware side, what you can expect, you know? I think that's the key difference.
Now, thinking about it, Paris, a lot more, I think it was a tie based on Microsoft took the feedback from the community and they needed to make that change with the hardware, and Sony just showed the games. They didn't even bother with the hardware. So I feel like it was a tie, and it was, to me, it's a great time to be a gamer because we're winning both sides.
I look at it this way. I don't care about who wins, loses, or whatever, other than what my personal preference is, because as a gamer, that's what I should care about. And anyone listening to this, that's what you should care about. What excited you? Microsoft excited me today because they're doing a vision and a plan that I wanted them to do.
Yes.
That benefits me as a gamer. Sony, they're just being Sony still. They didn't do anything to disappoint me. They didn't do anything to overly excite me. They just told me that we're Sony. And we're just going to keep doing what we're doing. God of War looks amazing. Like I said, that zombie game looks amazing. Kojima's game, you know, we knew Kojima was in the fold.
That looks amazing.
Again, there's no dates to it. I get it. But the fact that an Insomniac is making a Spider-Man game freaking excites me.
Yeah.
Because I know eventually I'm going to get my hands on it to play it.
And you know what's a good thing about it, too? Sony has the numbers. Like, look, we have a lot of units sold. They could pitch that to any company out there, and they could get exclusives like Spider-Man and stuff like that, you know? So I think it was a power move to me. Out of all the games they showed, that was like the biggest power move, in my opinion, as an exclusive for PlayStation 4. So we have Q here on the side, just chilling. Q, you want to say anything before we wrap it up? Because you've been here listening to us, so.
No, you guys pretty much said everything that I was thinking. You know, the games I was really impressed by, and they actually impressed me more than Microsoft's games earlier today. But like you were saying, like Paris was saying, we don't have any dates, so that kind of brings the excitement down a little bit. So we'll see. I'm looking forward to playing all those games, though. They did have gameplay. They had gameplay of those games, so they're probably coming sooner than later. So,
and one more thing about VR. I think that having a game like Resident Evil that it was made strictly for VR, I love that. I'm not a fan of games that was never designed for VR and then they added in there. I'm not a fan of that. Like Star Wars Battlefront, they say play a mission for VR. Cool. Is that going to make me buy a VR? No. Games like Resident Evil, yes, that will make me buy VR because that's a VR experience from start to the end. You know, so that's all I have to say.
No, I agree with you. Like you said, Resident Evil 7, that was a pleasant surprise to see that that's a full VR experience, you know, and it's going to be playable either way. I think that's how they're going to have to leverage VR in the short term, is give you a non-VR experience, but also give you a VR experience if you so choose to have that hardware.
Cool. All right, so we're going to be out here. And remember, go to GamerTagRadio.com and play that it /GamerTag. And we'll be right back. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.